Hello and welcome to another episode of Two Peas in a Podcast with Michelle.
And g'day Michelle, it's Trevor here.
Fantastic. And this month we're actually talking about something that was a request from a listener, which is very exciting.
Yeah, well, we probably should have thought of it ourselves, but compost is fairly important in the garden, you say?
I think it is the most vital aspect of the garden, to be perfectly honest.
And actually, for once, I think everybody agrees with you, because it is a sort of...
saying they normally don't agree with me, Trevor?
Well, normally they agree with anybody. So I think that compost is... probably something we should have done first up rather than now, but we'll do it now just because...
We talked about it a little bit when we did mulch.
Yeah, we did, but we probably didn't emphasise it enough because, in fact, it's not only a fertiliser, but it's also a waste management scheme, really, isn't it?
Because
everyone's got these beautiful verdant gardens at present full of all this lovely green stuff, but it's all weeds. You've got to eventually face facts and pull it out, don't you?
You do. I did have to go and... I had a day at home the other day and I pulled up a ton of the stinging nettle, which normally I leave. Now, I eat the stinging nettle and I chop it up and I put it in a bucket of water and then I use the water residue on the garden.
Yep.
But you do, you're right. You have to get to the stage where you go, it's choking out the actual plants.
Yeah, well, I mean, I should really define compost because I don't really do things exactly the right way either, but compost is being defined really by permaculture, and permaculture says, and they have workshops on this, so they're educating people on what this is. They say what you do is you start with all this shredded material, and so you've got your green shredded material and your brown shredded material, and you mix them together. Now, the actual proportions vary a lot. You can mix them together 50-50, or you can mix them together 20% to 80%. So it's just that there is a problem with one sort and not the other. So if you add just your kitchen scraps to a tin or something, you'll find they go all slimy and smelly and terrible. And if you add your lawn clippings in a heap, well, they stink to high heaven and they never really form what you want to do because they, first of all, they go all green and slimy and then they go all hard and crusty.
Or I had one experience where I left a pile of lawn clippings and I saw actual steam coming off them, and then someone said to me that was a little bit silly because apparently they can also combust.
Yeah.
I didn't realise that. So yeah, you're right. So you've got to have that.
So what permaculture do is they talk about green and brown. They talk, the green is called nitrogen, the brown is called carbon. And they basically mix them in layers and they keep all the layers damp and they build it to a size where it's at least a cubic metre. And that produces internal heat. The microorganisms in that start to work together and they actually produce so much heat that you get what's called a hot compost, and that's what we're after. And you would not believe, back in the 1950s, who produced the first municipal compost in the world? Holland.
I would believe that. Because there is literally no end to our amazingness, Trevor. I think that's been made clear through the whole podcast season.
So, in fact, the principles you use in your home compost are the same principles that councils all around the world are using in order just to get this stuff out of landfill, basically. So you're putting your green and your brown compost in more or less layers of 250 millimetres thick. You're building them up so they're at least a metre cubic, that's a metre by metre by metre, and you're keeping them damp, and then the rest is history because they will fire up and they will compact down. And they will give you, in the long run, compost. But there's a problem.
What is that?
You have to turn them.
See, now, I agree with you. Apparently there are compost bins you can get where they're on like a tumbler.
That's right.
And I know I need to get one of those because, as I explained to you earlier, Trevor, I really hate turning the compost.
I think you and every other woman. Well, I do think it's probably something that men do. There is a certain lovely accomplishment in it. When you're turning it, you're mixing it.
Yeah.
So you take the front out of compost bin number one, which has reached its fullness stage, and you throw it onto the bottom of compost bin number two.
Yeah.
And while you're doing it, it stinks, but you're aerating it. You're throwing it through the air. It collects air. And that aeration is important, very important, actually. And then you take the second layer, the middle of the compost bin, and you throw that in the middle of the compost pile. And then you take the back bit and you throw that on top. By the time you've done that, you mix it all up and you know you've done good. Because there are problems with not doing it in that you get the smell. You get parts of the outside, mainly, that doesn't decompose as quickly as the inside because it gets more air and therefore doesn't get as much heat. And you can get rodents and so forth building their nest in there.
I think that's what terrified me many, many, many moons ago. I had these wonderful compost bins. Well, I thought they were wonderful. I did this thing where I got tyres and I built up tyres, car tyres, and I had all the compost and then I would take the top off and I would do exactly what you're describing. But one day a giant rat leapt out. So obviously the compost wasn't hot enough, because in a hot enough compost you don't have that. And I think I've been phobic ever since.
Yeah,
what well, I do though, you'll be extremely impressed, Trevor,
yes,
is that in my compost bin, and I do have just one of those plastic compost bins, which, you know, that works for me. It's not ideal. Is I've got four sticks that go all the way to the bottom. So when I do put things in the compost, I grab the sticks and I give them a really good shake.
Yeah, that's good.
And I make sure that there's aeration going right to the bottom.
Yeah, that's good.
Does
yeah.
that count as turning over the compost?
Well, it does. You can rake the
without
top
getting
too.
My nails dirty. Does it count, Trevor?
Well, it counts for women, doesn't count for men, really.
Please don't ring and complain.
No, but I mean, it does take a bit of muscle power, particularly if you don't shred it first. You see, I came upon a compost heap that even I could not turn. It had all this long stuff, including some stuff that virtually, it's almost branches, and it all interlocks. You cannot lift the entire compost heap at once, And so shredding is, there are shredders that cost probably $2,000 that are very good. There are ones, they're called peacemakers, actually. Really good name. But if you don't get them, you're in trouble, because the ones they sell, well, they used to sell, I haven't seen them much recently, the ones that just look like a hopper with an engine below it are pretty well useless, because they don't take green stuff. They only take stuff that dried out. And when you put stuff in there, it throws it back to you as sharpened sticks. And so you need your safety gear on. Well, I think they've been taken off the market because they were damn helpless. And in order to buy the expensive ones, the good ones, you really need some sort of income from your garden, basically. So I don't, but you can use a pair of secateurs. Anything too long, anything longer than about 150, 200 mil, chop it up. 6-8 inches, chop it up. I suppose the other thing we should say is that there are certain things you wouldn't add to your compost heap, and you wouldn't add any parts of the tomato which might have wilt or other diseases.
Which I did not know, Trevor, so thank you for that advice.
And oleander is a bit of a weird one, because it's supposed to be poisonous, so you keep that away. You probably put it in your green bin and let council handle that, because I have no idea. You're not allowed to burn it either.
No.
And rose cuttings, well, they're a bit bloody thorny to handle, so you'd keep them away. Surprisingly, tobacco is a good one. I don't know whether you grow Nicotiana, but we've got it growing like a weed. Very high in phosphorus, so that's good. And comfrey and borage are remarkably good. They're accelerants, and they go deep down into the soil, and they bring up minerals that are hard to get because their roots are very, very deep. And they also seem to aerate it because of the way they have hollow stems. Stinging nettles are good in that they add silicon and they're very rich in minerals.
There is no end to the wonder of stinging nettles. I actually think it may be my favourite now.
Yeah,
I'm serious.
How much spinach substitute do you need?
This is very true. And also diseased plants, so that goes without saying. Anything that's a bit that you're a bit concerned about, don't chuck it in the compost heap. Don't think to yourself, I'm going to compost it, because you just...
The chances are a bit iffy,
It has to be really hot to get rid of all of that. What about some recycling? What are you thinking about that?
Well, I've failed twice with my plant labels. I bought plastic ones from a big green shed, and I thought they would be best because you could wipe off the writing on it and reuse them, but they actually break and fall to bits. So then I bought tongue suppressors, which are those timber pop sticks. You buy 1,000 of them for $8. And
you can also check your throat if you need to.
Yeah, that's right. Or we make an ice cream on top of them. But on the other hand, you put felt nib pen on them and you stick them in the ground, they virtually disappear before the plant does.
Oh, okay. All right.
So you lose the name. But what I've found is those plastic 2-litre bottles of milk that you buy, there is a way of using a pair of scissors that you'll see on YouTube, but you can make decent plastic labels. I'm trying that.
And you put them in the ground, or you put them on a little stick next to it, like tie them to a stick?
No.
Or you actually put them in the ground?
Well, you can make them quite big. It's quite big. You can make about 16, or you can make 4. So it depends on what size you want to make them.
Oh, okay. I'd probably need 4. I'm not free.
Well, yeah, you make fancy ones at 4. You can do quite a bit of fancy stuff there. And you get a scoop as well. So, you know, the milk, these things, you get the handle and the top where the lid's on it. And that becomes a scoop in the end.
Oh, cool.
And also, everyone's got pots. I can't give away pots. And I think it just should be mentioned that you use soapy water to clean them before you replant them, because, A, they've got a lot of soil and stuff in them and it could be contaminated. Yeah. So clean them up properly. That's my idea for recycling. Now,
I bought, well, I had lots of scrap material, and then what I just did was tied it to a stick or a twig or whatever, and then I just wrote the date on them in pen. It's not ideal, but it's better than nothing. And I think that's the other thing too. And then it looked actually quite pretty, really, like pottering around the garden when I had really tiny seedlings and I'd sort of spread them out. So that's another thing you could do. But basically, I mean, we need to get the compost happening, because at the moment we're preparing for summer.
Yeah, it's good.
Which does not mean that I've got my bikini out, Trevor, so don't be frightened. Do not be afraid.
I have not got my summer physique either. But the things you can do now for summer, and it is spring, let's face it, there's going to be a million things you can plant.
Oh,
but the ones that you can put a lot of stuff in pots now, which is a very good idea, because if you plant them out, there's still a lot of weeds around. There's a lot of pests, particularly red-legged earth mite, comes in early. So if you put them in pots, you can grow tomatoes, basil, capsicum, zucchini, cucumbers, eggplant, and corn. Those are the things you can put in pots, and you can wait 6 weeks and prepare the soil for them, because they all like good soil. And that does mean compost, basically. You'll make about 50 to 75 mil of compost on top of the soil. You let the worms go, and by the time you get back, actually, you can plant a green manure crop too if you've got 6 weeks.
Well, that's an idea, yeah.
You put in some wheat from the chooks, let the chooks starve for a while.
If you see my chooks, they think they're always starving.
That's right. So you can prepare the soil now, put them in pots, watch them grow, and you can actually pot them up too. If they come up and they get a little bit big, you can put them in bigger pots, not hard. At present, you can also just put seed in the ground of radish, rocket, lettuce, celery and carrots, and probably a lot else besides, really.
There's no end. For some reason, there's like the sun gets out, it warms the soil, and everyone just rushes out to plant. So what are we going to talk about next time, Trevor?
Well, I thought, to be fair, really, we should really mention our favourite flowers.
Yes.
Because flowers were something we tend to be a bit remiss at. Really,
we are a bit, which is terrible, because I'm actually Dutch. So the Dutch grow the most beautiful flowers. Well, we grow everything fabulously, but particularly flowers at the moment. What is Kolkenhof was in May, so it was 2 years ago that I was in Holland for Kolkenhof, which couldn't happen this year, obviously, but I'm sure they still went out and planted, because it's actually more than just having lots of tourists. But I would love to be talking about spring flowers, because I think...
Well, I think you can't really stop it. People are going to be talking about it anyway.
Yeah, you will.
Because the season, once it gets warm and it's light and it's nice to be outside for a change, well, then everyone's talking about what they're planting. So I think we'll just have a spring.
A bit of a spring. We'll spring into spring.
Spring has sprung.
All right, no worries. Okay, well, thank you, Trevor. We'll see you next month.
See you next month, Michelle.